that they were going to try to make him stumble by asking him hard questions. One scene which everyone is most likely familiar with has them wanting to stone a woman who has committed adultery, but Jesus' words instead bring them to realize their own sinfulness. He who is without sin may cast the first stone. And they all drop their stones and leave. Jesus goes on to teach, to catechize them, that he is the sent one of God, that he and the Father are one, that he is of the heavens and they are of the world. He tries to tell them over and over that he speaks not his own words, but only the words that his Father has given him to speak. Then, just before the words of our Holy Gospel text for today, Jesus tells them how they can be set free. That is, by continuing on in his word. They, of course, don't even think that they have a problem. From what should they be set free? They play the Abraham card and think that it is their get out of jail for free card, as if belonging to this Jewish bloodline is all that it takes to be free and get into heaven. But Jesus lumps all of mankind together, Jews and Gentiles, when he says, "Whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin." And it still falls on deaf ears. So finally, Jesus cuts to the bone. Throughout this entire discourse, Jesus is revealing that there is another side to God, an alien side. To fly in the face of all those people who think that God is all gospel, there is also the law. Jesus wasn't there to listen to their opinions. It was not a debate, a dialogue, or simply communication taking place which can be disagreed with. Jesus was there as the Lord, not in a clever or winsome or dynamic way, but rather he was there in the temple to simply speak. He was there to preach. With not 1 minute more to give to the Pharisees, Jesus cuts to the quick. If you love God, then you would love me. But you do not love me. You do not hear the words of God, because you are of the devil. That makes the Pharisees and scribes quite angry. But that's no surprise, really, for most people don't like to be told that they are of the devil. Sad that I actually have to say most. But what Jesus is speaking to, what Jesus is preaching to, is the flesh of all of mankind. This is what he still preaches to through his preachers of today. Stop and think about this scene that's taking place, this discourse that's been going on. These Pharisees and scribes are more familiar with Jesus than you. They have heard all that he has done, if not seen it. His words align perfectly with Moses and the prophets. His miracles cannot be denied. Yet, they cannot get him to stumble on even one point. They know they cannot convict him of sin. So why do they have such a hard time with him? Answer: the flesh. The sinful flesh is so self-centered, so wrought with sin, that it even wants to create its own empire. this was not a god of their making. So they conclude that only a demon could make them feel bad. Only a demon could preach the law in all its sternness so that it scares them. Only a demon could make such demands and say outrageous things. God must certainly not be so stern and demanding as you, Jesus. Our God must be nice. Our God must be the gentle old man in the sky who looks down on us with a distant kindness and goodwill. A God who is pleased with us and impressed by us, who doesn't judge or make demands and turns babies into angels and loves all soft things and never gets too involved with mankind. He simply lets us choose our way without any interference or uncomfortableness and is always so proud of us. But you, Jesus, you're not like that at all. You claim to come from God and speak God's word, but your words do not sound like the God who answers the prayers the way we want. You aren't giving us our due. You aren't recognizing our achievements, our incredible insights, how interested we've been in you, how we've thought neat little things about you, even without caring to look in your revealed word to see if they're true. And not only that, but you, Jesus, you mock the law. You eat with sinners. You touch the dead. You harvest on the Sabbath. You are a disgrace to your own Jewish people. So what does Jesus have to say to all of this? He closes his preaching by revealing that he is not the God of their imaginations. He simply preaches, I am. I am the Lord who spoke in the burning bush. I am the Lord who made a people who were no people, bringing them through the Red Sea on dry ground out of slavery. I am without beginning or end. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of steadfast love, of patient mercy. I am the God of salvation. And how do you think the flesh reacts to this? What do the scriptures teach you about this flesh that you think so highly of? Well, he's not the God of their flesh's making. So kill him. Get rid of him. And that's exactly what they try to do. They're out of arguments, so they pick up stones to kill Jesus. Their flesh will not believe in him. Their flesh will only hate him. But Jesus' hour had not yet come. So he slips through that crowd, which was blind with hatred, blind in darkness, blind in its sinful flesh. Jesus' song was love unknown. Now, before you get all comfortable thinking that you get the flesh dirty, looks at those self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, which of you has not acted like them? Which of you has not dreamed a little dream of a God of your own thinking? Kicking the true Almighty Triune God out of the picture. Killing him with your sinful fleshly minds. Because it's easier to avoid the harsh law that way. It's easier for the flesh to kill him off, so that the fluffy, lovey-dovey God of kittens and pretty patterns can come and take his place. Repent. Which means, hey, new man in you, born by God's doing, slips away from them that day, he returns. He returns on that cold Friday morning to put himself into their hands, at their mercy, of which there is none. He returns specifically because of the sinful flesh of man. He returns to allow their flesh, acting on all of mankind's behalf, acting on your behalf, to do its worst to him. And when his hour does come, he will go with them as a lamb led to the slaughter, without complaint or fuss, without resistance. He will go and suffer their violence and lay down his life as a ransom for them and for you on the mount of the Lord. It shall be provided. For no matter how much they hate him, no matter how often they reject him and mock him, he loves them and has pity and mercy toward them. And the same goes for your unfearing, unloving, untrusting flesh. He desires to reconcile them to his Father, to make them clean and purify them, and so he does for you as well. So he has with little Floralisa this morning, and for the remainder of her days, attaching his word of promise, already earned forgiveness of sins, to water. And through that water, his promise is and always will be true, for he will never go back on his promises. The way of salvation has been prepared and paved for little Floralisa and for you. The great I Am, God Almighty in the flesh, was crucified and is risen, finishing everything that you would have forgiveness, life, and salvation by God creating faith in his merits. Jesus does not have a demon, but the demons are certainly at play with the world and your sinful flesh. They cloud your thinking. So hear the words of Jesus, for these are the words that cut through the fog. He comes not of himself. He comes of the Father. And if he has made you uncomfortable at times, it's because his word exposes you for who you are when you want to hide and pretend that you are something that you are not. But his word is true, and when it calls you a sinner, it is good and it is true. The law of God is good and wise, because you need to know that while you remain in your sinful flesh, you will be duped into thinking that you have a righteousness or a goodness of your own flesh, just like the Pharisees and the scribes. That God's law advances your sinful reliance of self with the merciful purpose of driving you to and through Christ crucified. The harsh reality isn't a blanket statement, well, no one's perfect, or all men are sinners. The harsh reality is that your heart is not pure. You do not have some inside track with God, some special understanding between the two of you worked out. My friends, in Christ Jesus, God reveals himself only in his word. That is where he speaks. those very same that picked up the stones and sought to kill him, he went back to the very fact that they would kill him. He went back because Jesus is the lamb caught in the thicket of your sins. He went back to take care of your sins. All for you. He loves you. He mercifully gives you his name, just as he has before Lisa this morning. He enters into you by way of word, water, bread, and wine. And though it seems strange, he is not come to punish you. He preaches the law to mercifully expose you, that you would be healed, that you would know the truth of the way of Christ crucified for you, and there be set free. He has come to rescue you and snatch you out of hell and death, out from the devil and this fallen world, and out from your own sinful flesh. He forgives all of your sins. He declares you to be as pure and clean as he is himself. And what he declares to be is, you are, by belief and baptism, by the power of his word, his own beloved child, in whom he is well pleased. You are the constant object of his affection and attention, no matter what he brings to you. God's grace is not measured by the changing circumstances of life. God's grace is always and only measured by the never-changing truth of Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. You are hearing the word of God, and you are brought to keep it by continuing to hear the word of God, hearing both law and gospel, having it crucify your flesh, killing you, yet bringing you to live again by the power of the Holy Gospel, bringing you to live again through the one who is the gospel. Our Lord pursues you to continue to overcome your flesh. For before Abraham was, I am, was set to go to the cross for you. And before you ever were, I am loved you. And he always will. God's word and sacraments bring you to be fixed on Christ crucified. For there, your sins have been dealt with. And there, your righteousness is delivered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.